Hi everyone, today's Perek of Rambam is the first chapter of Hilchos Machlos Asuros. In this Perek, Rambam details the basic obligation to know the differences between different sorts of species of animals, so that way we can tell which ones are kosher and which ones are not. Furthermore, the Rambam provides the signs through which one can tell precisely which are kosher and which are not. Halacha Aleph. There's a positive command to know the difference between the signs, which distinguish between an animal of any sort, whether a domesticated, undomesticated, fowl, bird, insect, which is permitted to be eaten, and those which are not. As the Pasuk says, and you shall distinguish between a kosher animal and a non-kosher animal, between a kosher bird and a non-kosher bird. And similarly, the Pasuk says that we must know to distinguish between kosher and non-kosher things, whether we can eat one particular type of animal or whether we cannot. Halacha Beis. Simani behema v'chai is parsha v'torah, heim shnei simani. Now first is parsha u malaskira, achu shneim. The signs with regards to land animals that are domesticated or undomesticated have already been explained in the Torah explicitly. There are two signs. One is that their hooves must be split, and the second is that they must chew their cud. And both of these are requirements. Now, with regard to any animal which chews its cud, does not have teeth on its upper jawbone. Now, the Rambam tells us any animal which is going to chew its cud will have split hooves, with one exception, and that is a camel. And any animal which has split hooves will chew its cud, with one exception, and that is the pig. Accordingly, if a person finds an animal whose hooves are cut off in the desert, and he can't tell what its species was, so then he should examine its mouth. If it doesn't have teeth on its upper jaw, then you can for sure say that it's kosher, assuming you know what a camel looks like. And if a person finds an animal whose mouth is cut off, so then he should look at its hooves. And if they're split, then you know that it's kosher, assuming, of course, as well, that you know what a pig looks like. Now, if both the mouth and the hooves are cut off, so then he should look at the end of its tail after he's slaughtered it. And if he sees that its meat has strings which extend both in the direction of length and width, so then you know that it's kosher, assuming you know what a wild donkey looks like, because in that case, it also has meat which goes both in the length and the width. Halacha Dalet. Behema Torah Shildo Kimin Behema Tmeya. Afal Pish Einu Mafres Parsa V'lo Malagera El Kimin Soz of Chamor L'chol Davar Hari Zem Mutar V'achila. If a kosher animal gives birth to an animal which looks like it's a horse or a donkey, in some sense it appears to be a non-kosher animal, even though it doesn't have split hooves and it doesn't chew its cud, nonetheless it's permitted to eat. This is if you know that it had given birth, it was in your presence. However, if you had simply left a pregnant cow in your flock, and then afterwards you return, and it appears like there's some sort of pig-like creature which is following after it, and might even be nursing from it, nonetheless, that's a case of doubt, and it's forbidden to eat it. Because perhaps it was born to some non-kosher animal, and nonetheless is following after it's become dependent on the kosher animal. On the flip side, if a non-kosher animal gives birth to an animal which resembles a kosher animal, it might even chew its cud and have split hooves, it seems like it's an ox or a sheep in every manner, nonetheless, it's forbidden to eat. Because ultimately, something which is born from a non-kosher animal is non-kosher, and something which comes from a kosher animal is kosher. Dug tamei shenim tzabim made dug tar, aser. V'dug tar shenim tzabim made dug tamei, mutter. L'fish ein kudulav ela bilav. Now, with regards to fish, if you find a non-kosher fish inside of the belly of a kosher fish, it is still non-kosher. It's forbidden to eat. And if you find a kosher fish inside of the belly of a non-kosher fish, that is permitted to eat. Because in these circumstances, we don't assume that it had produced it, but rather it had swallowed it, and now you've just found it in the belly. Halachavav. Behema torah shiyolda oshenimsa ba b'riya shiyesh la shtei gabin u'shtei shtaros asur b'achila. If there's a kosher animal which gives birth to a creature that has two backs and two backbones, or it was found within such a creature that was slaughtered. In that circumstance, it's forbidden to eat. This is what the Torah referred to as a shesua, mentioned in the Torah, which was forbidden to be eaten. The Pasuk says that you cannot eat these, this type of shesua, which chews its cud and has split hooves. Basically, that means an animal which was born into a split between two different animals. That's why it has these two backbones and two backs. Halacha Zayin. Similarly, if an animal is born which appears to be like a bird, even though it appears to be like a kosher bird, nonetheless it's forbidden to eat, because it's only permitted when you have such a fetus inside of an animal, when it has hooves which can make it permitted. There are no land animals, whether domesticated or undomesticated, which are permitted to eat, aside from the 10 which are counted in the Torah. Three types of domesticated species, behem, shor, sev, eis, and they are respectively oxen, sheep, and goats. V'shiva minei chaya, ayal, tzvi, yachmor, v'ako, v'dishon, uso, v'zomer, and seven types of undomesticated creatures. Now, I'm not sure we know the exact definitions of each of these, but classically, they are translated as a gazelle, a deer, an antelope, ibex, and then various other things, maybe a giraffe, a bison, perhaps other things. And this also includes things that are subspecies of them, such as wild ox or buffalo, which are ultimately, again, subspecies of oxen. All of these 10 types, each chews its cud and has split hooves. Accordingly, if a person knows these species, you know what they look like, so you don't have to go and check their mouths and their feet. Now, even amongst these 10 species, though they're all permitted to be eaten, we must still be able to distinguish between that which is a behema, domesticated, and that which is a chaya, undomesticated. Because regarding undomesticated animals, you are allowed to eat all of its fat, as opposed to with the domesticated animals, where you are not allowed to eat what we refer to as certain types of fats, generally forbidden fats, called chaylev. And in addition, with regards to undomesticated animals, you must cover its blood. After you slaughter it, some of the blood must be covered. Now, regarding what is an undomesticated animal, we have, through our tradition, various signs. If you have a species which has split hooves, chews a cud, and has horns which branch off like a gazelle's, so then that is certainly a kosher chaya. Now, if the horns are curved like an ox's, or they are notched like a goat's, but the notch is embedded within them and spiraled like the horns of a goat, so then in that case, you know that it is a kosher chaya. This is, again, assuming that you know it has these three signs. They must be curved, notched, and spiraled. This is true regarding a species which you do not recognize. If you recognize one of these seven species, so then, even if it doesn't have horns on it, so then you are still allowed to eat its fat, and you are obligated to cover its blood. Now, regarding a wild ox, so that's a species which is a domesticated animal. Now, a unicorn, assuming they exist, would be considered a kosher, wild, undomesticated animal, even though it has only one horn. Now, anything which one is uncertain, whether or not it's a behema or a chaya, categorically, so then you're not allowed to eat its fat, and similarly, you must cover its blood. Now, if you did eat its fat, though, we will not administer lashes because, again, it's uncertain. If you have an intermixing of species that came from the mating of a kosher domesticated animal and an undomesticated animal, so then it's referred to as a kvi. And chelbo asr, ve'en mokin lav, mechatzin estemo. Its fats are forbidden, but if you eat those fats again, you won't receive lashes, and you are obligated to cover its blood. Ve'en mentalim es aber mentar klal. A non-kosher species will never be able to be made pregnant by a kosher species. Halacha yudalet. Simani ov tahar, lonis parish mena Torah. With regards to the signs of a kosher bird species, those are not explicitly stated in the Torah. Elamana minyan tmei and bilvad, ushar minyan ov mutar. Rather, the Torah simply lists those which are forbidden, and then every other bird is permitted. Haminyan asurim arbav esrim hein. Now, the list that are forbidden are 24. I will read them in Hebrew, but because translation is so elusive, we will leave them untranslated. Ve'elu hein, nesher, peres, azniya, da'a, vihara, hamura, mishnah Torah. Aya, v'yadaya, hamura, mishnah Torah. Mina aya, shekein kasav ba, lamina, mechlal shu, shnei minin. Orev, zarzir, shekein nemar ba, orev, lamino, lahavi, esa, zarzir. Yane, tachmas, shachaf, neit, sharnika, hu, min ha-neit, shekein kasav ba, laminehu. Kos, shalach, danshuf, tinshemes, ka'a, rachama, chasida, hanafa, min hanafa, shekein nemar ba, lamina, hadukhifas, hatalif. In the Rambam's count of 24, it's still important to make sure one recognizes what qualifies, what doesn't qualify. For example, sometimes there's distinctions between those that are listed in Sefer Vayikra and those that are listed in Sefer Devarim, but we will suffice with just reading the Hebrew, just because translating them into English would be far too difficult. Halacha tezvav. Kol mishu baki b'minan, elu b'shmo san, harei ze ocho ov, she'eno mehen, ve'eno tzarech b'dika. Anybody who is an expert in these matters knows the species and their names, so then he's able to eat any animal which comes from a different species, and he doesn't need to investigate. Now, with regards to kosher species, we need there to be some sort of tradition which can say that which is good. That means to say that it must be that in that particular place where one is, it's obvious that this is a kosher bird. And a trapper is able to say that this bird, my teacher, had permitted to me. This is assuming that we know that this trapper is somebody who is an expert in these species and their names. Now, if somebody doesn't recognize them, doesn't know their names, then he's able to investigate them with the signs that were given by Chazal. Any bird which is going to trample on its prey and devour it, in that circumstance, you know with certainty that it's one of these forbidden foods. Now, if it doesn't trample and devour its food, so then if it has one of these three signs, any one of them, then it's for sure a kosher bird. And these are they. Etzba yaseira has an extra finger. O zevek vihi hamore, or it has a crop, which is also referred to as the more. O shaya korvano niklav biyad, or if the top of its craw is able to be peeled back by hand. Now, the reason why these signs are sufficient is because there are none amongst all of these forbidden species, any creature which does not trample on its food and devour it, and possesses one of these three signs, other than two of that list of 24, and those two aren't commonly found near places where people live. They're far, far away at the ends of the earth and distant islands and deserts, and therefore we don't have to be concerned that this might be one of them. Halach yudches. Ha'korkavan niklaf b'sakin, ve'eno niklaf b'yad, ve'ein bo siman acher, afal pish eno doreis, harizeh safik. If the craw could be peeled back, not with your hand, but only with a knife, and doesn't have any of the other signs, so then, even though it doesn't seem to be a bird which tramples on its prey and eats it, nonetheless, it is considered an uncertain case. If the craw was the type of thing which was firmly attached, but when left in the sun, it became looser to the point where you could peel it off by your hand, so then in that circumstance, the species is permitted. Halacha yud tes. Amrag onim shemesoras hibitehem, she'ein mor lahatir o habab simen echad, el im haya osu simen shikale korkavo biyad. The Gonim stated that they had a tradition that one does not rule leniently regarding a bird which we don't know about otherwise other than with these signs, unless the sign that it possesses is that it has a craw which can be peeled back by hand. However, if it cannot be, but it has one of the other two signs, even both of them, that it possesses a crop or it has an extra finger, In that case, we would not rule leniently. Lachachav, kol of shecholikas raglav kishet moschin lo chut shtayim lekan ushtayim lekan, o shecholik mina avir ocha ba'avir, haris doris betami. Any bird which has its claws, its talons, able to be divided when you give it a line to perch on, and it places two on one side and two on the other side, or it can seize something in the air and eat it while it's in the air, so then we know that it's a bird of prey and is considered, therefore, non-kosher. Furthermore, any species which lives together with non-kosher species and seems to be like them, so that too is non-kosher. Now, with regards to the species of locust, which the Torah permitted one to eat, there are eight types, Elohim, that I'm going to now list them. Again, I won't translate them here for lack of a clear definition. Chagav, min chagav, hu har vanis, chargol, min chargol, hu ar tsuvia, arbe, min arbe, pi tzipores kramim, salam, min salam, pi yochana yushamis. Clearly, it was known what some of these ones were, especially the last one, that specific one from Yerushalayim. But again, for our definitions, we will leave them just in their Hebrew. Lachav Beis. Mishu Baki Pen, Wishmosehen, Ochel. Somebody who is very familiar with them, expert, he knows them and their names, so then he's allowed to eat them. Vayetzai Nemel Aleim Kov. And a trapper is believed regarding them just as by a bird. Mishaino Baki Pen, Bodek Pesimane. And somebody who is not familiar with them is able to check them based off of signs. Ushlosh Ranam Yish Pen, and they have three signs. Kol Shieshlo Arba Raglayim, Arba Knafayim, Shechovos Rov Orech Gufo, Rov Hekef Gufo. Vayeshlo Shnei Karayim, the Natur Behem, Harizat Mintar. Anything which has four legs and four wings that cover most of its body and most of the width of its body, and it has two longer legs with which it hops, so then that's going to be a kosher species of locust. And even if its head is very long and it has a tail, if it's still referred to as a locust, so then we know that it is a kosher species. If the locust does not have wings or these type of legs, or its wings don't cover most of its body, but it will grow them later when it gets bigger, so in that case, you are allowed to eat them already now. The final halacha in the parak. Regarding fish, there's two signs which make it kosher. Stop here. It has to have fins and scales. Stop here. What do we mean by fins? These are ones that the fish uses to swim with. And when we refer to scales, it must be ones which cling to its entire body. Now, anything which has scales will also have fins. If it doesn't have these right now, but as it grows up, as it matures, it will have them, or that it has these scales, and that's while it's in the sea. When it goes out onto the land, then it sheds those scales. In that case, it is still permitted. If it does not have scales which cover its entire body, it is still permitted. In fact, even if it only has one fin and one scale, assuming they qualify as fins and scales as detailed above, then they are still permitted. Have a wonderful day.